This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Martin Kilcoyne will be here at 11. Carrie Davis will be here at 11:30. Man, it is steamy in this studio. I feel like I have a tie on, but gosh, it's brutal.
It is wee steamy, and it also kind of smells like there's a fish in the ventilation system.
Yeah.
Kind of has that. I might run because we have a guest coming in at 11:30. I might run starting at 11 when Martin gets in here across the street to Schnucks and get like an air freshener or something.
It's a good call.
Something to make the studio smell a little more pleasant.
How about your answer to this one? I said that Charles Barkley is the best analyst in sports. Somebody texting in, the best analyst in professional sports is Kelly Chase.
Are we doing professional or am I allowed to include collegiate?
We can do collegiate, yeah.
Because I'm going to put Jay Billis at the top.
Well, he is good.
I'm a huge Jay Billis fan.
Breaking down a game or more a SportsCenter analysis or both?
I guess both, more so for his critique of the NCAA. I am a huge fan of that. But for basketball, I think it would be Barkley. With a close second to Bill Walton, but I think I appreciate Walton more for what he says that has nothing to do with basketball during a game.
Yeah, that's a good thought, Walton.
I think I always love me some Kirk Herbstreit.
Herbie.
I love college football, and I feel like he does a great job explaining the game. He has a great personality. I thought he did great on the draft coverage as well, so I'll go Herbstreit.
Yeah, not particularly like funny or outlandish, just really insightful, really, and you can tell he does his homework. How about that? First tee text line, 855-282-8255. Best analyst in sports. I'll go Barkley. Brian will go Billis. And Plowsy will go with the quarterback from Ohio State. Pretty good player, too. All right. What else here, Brian? What else we got?
314, Sammy Sosa apologizes for steroid use. Will the Cubs return all the money collected from it? The interview is with Comcast or NBC Sports Chicago now, I guess. And David Kaplan has been on the show before. Conducted the interview, and he made a good point, was in 98, the Cubs drew 2.6 million fans. It has not dropped below 2.6 since then. So you can make the case, it's based on connecting the dots, that Sosa kind of started this renaissance of Cubs fandom in Chicago, similar to here in St. Louis. Just look at the attendance figures in 96 and 97, and then look at 98 and beyond.
Yeah,
that's when
here's the
3
thing,
million
too.
Streak started.
If McGuire's not doing that and they're not winning, which they didn't win, the attendance would be definitely off.
It is. So it's like for at least the Cardinals have welcomed McGuire back. They hired him to be the hitting coach. They put him in the Cardinal Hall of Fame. I'm sure they invite him back to opening day, but he works for the Padres now, so he can't do it. The Cubs, to like demand an apology from Sosa for the PED use is just so slimy, given how much the franchise
benefited from it. Yeah.
Benefited from it. Yes.
Now, he wants him to do this before he brings him back in, but Sosa, who made $100 million in his career, is not asking for a job.
No, and as we learned from Dr. Rick, he's also done quite well from a business perspective off the field.
So if Sammy doesn't need it, he's not going to apologize.
No, and what does he have to apologize for? What did he do wrong? Was it illegal?
Well, you could argue that it was technically breaking the law.
Was it in the rule book?
In the baseball rules at the time, you could also argue that they weren't hard fast. You know, it's a little bit
like pot's blurry. Pot's not a banned substance in baseball, but you can't smoke marijuana legally in some states. Yeah. But you could do it as a ball
player.
In
hockey, it's not. They don't have drug tests for marijuana in hockey, I believe.
So there's a disconnect between.
But what about this though? That other players and there's probably a high percentage of other players did not use illegal substance to cheat. And he did. He cheated by using those illegal substances. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think you said probably, and we don't know that.
Well,
I think that statement is based on.
I mean,
not
everybody was hitting 55 home runs or 60 home runs after hitting 15.
Well, no, but it wasn't necessarily a requirement that your home runs go up that much. It could go up. Look at Brady Anderson. He never hit. I think he hit 50 once.
But even even you would have to say that there is at least half of the players, and probably more than half the players, were doing it the right way.
I would argue it was a more even playing field in the 90s, and people want to admit it.
I think at that point you say baseball, though, so for the Cubs to demand that, I'm on Brian's camp. There's no way I would apologize to Cubs, and no way.
Well, then, Sammy, apologize for bringing people to our ballpark and making the franchise a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really against you on that, but I am saying what he did was, I mean, he cheated to get ahead. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you look at his body early on, you look at his statistics early on, then all of a sudden he starts using steroids and he starts breaking some of these hallowed records. I think Sosa is one of the few guys to go, was it 3 years of 60 or back? He has one of those things where I think he's alone.
Back-to-back 60 or 360s in a row or 3 and 4 years or something like that. Yeah, impressive.
And he did it largely with the benefit of drugs. let's see. I don't think Sammy admitted use in the interview. He really didn't. He just kind of said, if I did something wrong, I apologize. If there's nothing wrong with steroids, why were they hiding it? Good point, Catfish. Mike Milbury for hockey. Not afraid to tell it like it is. Yeah, he is outstanding.
He's a 50-50 guy to where either you love him or you cannot stand him. I don't think there's a middle ground with him.
Yeah, but when he's on a broadcast, he is really good. All right, let's welcome to the program another outstanding broadcaster. He's at Churchill Downs. He'll be on the Kentucky Derby coverage for NBC, Kenny Rice. Kenny, great to be with you. How are you?
Frank, my friend, always good to be with you. Yeah, life is good today. A little bit of rain here in Kentucky, but so far, so good.
How many years for you on the Derby?
Longer than you've been alive, Frank. Now, this is... This is 17 with NBC, and then, of course, you know, when you were in Lexington, too, when I was working local, we did 20 of them, so it's close to 37 for me. I was really a kid when I started.
Yeah, how about the first time you get the call from NBC saying, hey, Kenny, we want you on our Kentucky Derby national television coverage? That must have been an unbelievable thrill.
Yeah, you know, it was, and, you know, I think everybody likes to, you know, likes to see what they can do, so I always thought I could. And I'd done the ESPN work, as you know, prior to that. I'd done some Derby mornings and all, but to actually do a national broadcast of the Derby, it was a great deal when they called. And, you know, I've enjoyed it since then. It's been a nice run. You know, hopefully got a couple of more in the on-deck circle before it's all over. But it's really great to be here. And you know, Frank, how it is. There's just nothing else like it. There's a few things that you say are truly unique. And the Derby is one of the unique things in sports.
Give our listening audience a little idea of some of the famous people you've seen at Churchill Downs on Derby Day over the years. Everybody from who to who.
Oh, going way back to guys like George Hamilton and Elizabeth Taylor, you know, like Golden Hollywood.
Wow.
Don Johnson during the Miami Vice years came in. I think both of Zsa Zsa, maybe the other Gabor sister, also came in, you know, the old Hollywood gang. And then way back in the 40s, you know, you had like Tyrone Power and people like that, Don Ameche coming in. Now you got Kid Rock coming in, and you've got George Strait coming in. Talk about different. How about that? Kid Rock and George Strait. I thought of that myself. And then, of course, with the athletes like it, the Mannings come in, Peyton and Eli comes in. Tom Brady comes in, Aaron Rodgers this year, I think almost every year. Gronkowski, I don't know if he's going to be here this year. He actually had a horse named after him, but the horse was supposed to be in the Derby. He didn't make it, so I don't know if Gronkowski's coming, but he used to come. And, you know, I just think there's something about it. And I did. I interviewed Aaron Rodgers once here for NBC, and you know, what I thought of, I said, what's this like to walk in here and you play at Lambeau Field? I mean, you know, these are two places you don't really have to explain. Churchill Downs, Lambeau Field, Fenway Park, you know, these are things that you just go, wow, that's some special venues.
I've always been struck by the dramatic contrast of the wealthy and the elite in those private boxes and then the people in that infield. What a difference.
That's the truth, isn't it? Talk about the... You know, the more than 6 degrees of separation when you come off Millionaire's Row. And if you dare walk across the track, and I had to a couple of times early on, I think it was like rookie hazing. when I first started doing this. I did a couple of hits over there. I'll rephrase that, a couple of story tells from over there. Hits in TV. I didn't take any hits, but the hits were available to take. You know what I mean? And, it's a whole different atmosphere. You know, there's people that go to this derby that sit in the infield, right? I don't know if they've even seen it. You know, I don't know if they remember the derby, but they wake up and they find an old losing ticket in their pocket and say, I must have gone.
And you have to be careful about doing – now, you're not doing this on NBC because you're into the nuts and bolts coverage, but some of the things that go on in that infield with the women and the flashing and the alcohol and the drugs, it's just insane, isn't it?
We did – yeah, it's crazy. In I think it was 03, they sent me over to the infield. And I said, you know, I'm very I said, what if, you know, there could be nudity, okay? I mean, you know, you've got no control over the infield crowd, and among other things. So we actually did it gonzo style. We hid behind the tote board till it was time to throw to me. I jumped out from behind the tote board, walked through the crowd for like 25 seconds, threw it back over to the anchor desk. And nobody knew exactly what had happened. But we kind of got a feel because I'm walking right among the crowd and nobody put it together. They wanted it. They liked it. Wanted me to do it again next year. I got mobbed over there. I don't even know what I said when I was throwing. I don't even know if anybody heard anything I said because they congregated around as quickly.
How many hours will you be on the air?
Starting tomorrow, we will be on the air 5 hours tomorrow on NBCSN with the Kentucky Oaks coverage and the races leading up to that, and then we'll be on from 12 to 2:30 on NBCSN. On Derby Day, and then 2:30 to about 7:30, about 5 hours worth on NBC covering the Derby. That's a lot of hours for a 2-minute race.
Oh my gosh, 7 hours for a 2-minute race. That is incredible.
Yeah.
All right, let me get a quick take from you on what horse we should keep an eye on. I kept an eye on Justify, who's, I think he's going off a 3-1 now, and he's been really dominating, but he hasn't really been challenged, has he?
Well, you know, he hasn't. And the thing is, probably the best horses in this race, horses that are all coming in off wins, are Justify, Good Magic, Audible, Magnum Moon, and Vino Rosso. They've all come off wins, but the thing is, they haven't gone head-to-head with each other. I mean, this really is like coming in from different regions for the NCAA tournament. Everybody's coming from a different corner. They haven't faced each other yet. I think it's justifiable that he would be the favorite right now. He looks great. I mean, he's a big horse. He's over 1,200 pounds. Most of these guys are around 1,100, 1,050. He's big and strong looking, and he's trained by Bob Baffert, and he's ridden by Mike Smith, a pair of Hall of Famers. So I think that's why he deserves that. But, you know, Frank, the odds out there, I mean, like, you know, you're going like 8-1 on a horse that won the Florida Derby in Audible. There's probably some money to be made. I just can't figure out exactly who all to put in the 3 or 4 or 5 picks.
So you if you had to pick one, you'd go Justify. But how about one that we should keep an eye on, maybe a good money buy?
I would say Justify. And I tell you, Audible and Good Magic right behind him. Audible's 8-1 coming off the Florida Derby win. Good Magic won the Bluegrass Stakes. He's 12-1. That's not bad. And then the long shot that I'd put in there at 20-1 is a horse named Hofberg, who's at 20-1. So, you know, it's probably worth a couple of bucks if you want to throw in on that. I'd take a shot at it. But right now, the only thing is, it's going to be interesting with Justify. We know in every sport you have to have experience. I don't think there's a sport where experience pays off more than the Kentucky Derby. Get a little seasoning in these horses. Only one unraced 2-year-old has ever won the Derby, and that was in 1882. And Justify is unraced 2-year-old. So he's running against history as well as 19 challengers this week.
Wait a minute. He did not race as a 2-year-old?
He did not race. He came over late to the barn of Baffert. And, you know, there was just some it was basically business things went on. There was nothing wrong with the horse. But by the time he got there, it was almost December. And Baffert decided that, you know, the horse looked good. He would rather just train him. And he did. And he's won all 3 of his races this year impressively. So, I think that's, yeah.
Wow, let me get that again because that's a great stat. I'm going to use it on TV. 1882 yeah. was the last unraced 2-year-old to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, the only one. And his name was Apollo. 1882 Apollo.
Boy, you are good at this.
I'm thinking about picking it up for a living. I don't know.
Before I let you go, what any celebrity ownership in any of these Kentucky Derby horses on Saturday?
You know, not the real celebrities. There's some, you know, people that people might like. There's a horse named Entice that's owned by Sheikh Maktoum, the ruler of Dubai. I don't know how many people would recognize him automatically, but that's kind of impressive. Vino Rosso is owned by the group that won it last year. They've got some interest in it as well. It was last year, you know. Again, it's mostly the trainers. Todd Fletcher has four good horses in it. Baffert's got the favorite, Justify. I think that that'll be more storylines than the owners this year, although we do have a real interesting owner in Mick Ruiz, who owns a horse named Bolt Doro, named after Usain Bolt. And this guy made a bunch of money and then lost a bunch of money in racing and then sold his – he's a self-made millionaire – then sold his scaffolding business for 70-some million dollars and got back in racing, is now training his own horse. So, you know, it's
– wow.
He's an interesting cat.
And will there be a Rick Pitino sighting, or is he no longer involved in anything Louisville related?
It's funny. He's got a horse in the Oaks tomorrow called Coach Rocks, which is actually a legitimate horse. The horse could win it, and it wouldn't be a stunner. And I think certainly will be in the running. But she won down in Florida, and they asked Rick down there. Some of the journalists covering it, will you be in Kentucky? Will you be back in Louisville? And his demand was that a couple of board members from the University of Louisville must resign first before he'd come back to town. Last I heard, they haven't resigned, so I doubt if he'll be here.
Good stuff. Kenny, we'll be watching on Sunday. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
Always my pleasure. Thanks, Frank.
All right. The great Kenny Rice from NBC Sports joining us. So we got some horses to look at. Audible. Good Magic, Justify.
The one named after Usain Bolt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get in touch with this self-made millionaire. It sounds like he likes to throw his money around. He makes it real quick.
You need to get in touch with the people taking hits on the infield.
Yeah, that guy.
That's who you need to get in touch with.
I need to start getting to Kentucky more, I guess.
Even his eyes started to squint when he said that.
Started GoFundMe to get Plowsy to Churchill Downs this weekend.
All right, Brian, so we're going to be at Kingside Diner tomorrow. We're excited about that. That's going to be some great food.
I am looking forward to that. They fed us at their other place, Herbie's in Clayton, so I'm hoping there'll be some food available at Kingside tomorrow because that is a delightful place.
One of the best breakfast places in St. Louis. We'll be there from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Come on by, say hello, have an omelet, have some pancakes, have their outstanding cinnamon rolls. Also, I want to tell you about Dr. Michael Jones, 855-260-EYES. 855-260-EYES is the number. And if you'd like to get those eyes fixed for good, let's do it. Let's go to Quantum Vision Centers. He has he practices on both sides of the river, and he really is regarded as one of the great eye surgeons in the country. I mean in the country. So get the eyes fixed. It takes about 11 or 12 seconds. No glasses, no contacts for the rest of your life. Dr. Michael Jones, tell them I sent you, 855-260-EYES. Support our sponsors. We'll be right back.